So I'm going to approach this a little differently than I normally give my presentations. When Amy asked me to do this, I had two different ways I could deal with it. One is talking about a program that I had and how we evaluated it and the outcome. And the second was to talk about how we were a set of evaluators for a much larger project. So I'm going to go the second direction, which is a little different than the way everyone else in the room has handled this. But I do want to just give you a flavor of some evaluation we did, our program, and how it turned out. I work in the Neuse River Basin in North Carolina. We had massive fish kills. And we did a in-field detailed survey of over 3,500 fields. We got conservation practices, nutrient managed behavior, and a lot of other information. About 2 years after that very intense survey, we were required to do nutrient management training for anyone that applied fertilizer to 50 acres or more. We trained over 2,500 farmers in 1 year. This was stakeholder driven. We were very excited. Linda, we got a social scientist to do the post-evaluation. The farmers liked it. They learned a lot. They were going to change behavior. It was so exciting. And then we did the same survey we'd done previously, again, in the intensive 3,500 field survey, and what we found was farmers hadn't changed behavior at all. So that was so depressing that I'm going to give you another story today. And so we're going to talk about the National Institute of Food and Agriculture, NIFA, Conservation Effects Assessment Program. So I want to talk first about the team that did the evaluation. So we're coming at this not from the program and then the evaluation. We're going to talk about the evaluation team, what they did, and then how they translated that into action. One of the best things we did in developing this team of people to evaluate the National Institute of Food and Agricultural Conservation Effects Assessment Project was to put together an interdisciplinary multi-state team. And so we had a modeler and an economist from Colorado State. We had a hydrologist, a statistician, and a stream restoration person from North Carolina. We had a sociologist from Penn State, a water quality extension specialist from Texas, Andrew Sharpley, our soil scientist from the University of Arkansas, and then we had a private consultant who had seen more watershed projects than probably anyone else. The other thing we did is we worked very intensely with these 13 different watersheds across the country, and this was funded by both USDA NIFA and USDA NRCS. The reason I put this slide first is, first of all, I wanted to bring forth the importance of making sure your evaluation team has the breadth and scope that you need, and I feel like we captured that. The second thing is that as far as I was concerned, we had many, many clients, but our primary client was NRCS, and I'm going to keep coming back to this. All right. So let me tell you a little bit about what the project was, so then I can talk about the evaluation a little bit more fully. NIFA SEEP was a competitive grants watershed project where USDA NIFA wanted to look at the relationship between conservation practice implementation and water quality change at the watershed scale. This takes a long time. So to be part of this project, you had to have 5 to 10 years worth of water quality and land treatment data, as Linda very well knows because she was part of one of these projects. And the watersheds were all either cropland or pasture. Okay, so that was the general framework, and you competed to see if you could become part of this protocol. And each team that was selected had to answer one of these four questions. The reason I put this on here is that we used this framework to help us evaluate these projects that were selected, because this is what NIFA wanted to know. And they had asked each of the projects to try and answer each of those questions. So it was a very important framework. Not only that, it helped us as the evaluation team define what our framework was. So it was a very nice lattice to help us move along our evaluation. So as these grants were let, 13 projects developed across the country And the nice thing about these were they were well distributed. We had some as far west as Oregon, as far east as New York, as far north as Idaho, and as far south as Georgia. So when we were looking at these 13 projects, we had a number of different agroecosystems to look at. So that was very useful in our evaluation. At the end of these projects, and somebody already talked about, I think Linda, it was you, who talked about the fact that you should maybe think about evaluation when you first write your initial project. Well, NIFA got around to thinking about the evaluation as the projects were kind of closing out. And they wanted some group to come in and basically tell them what had been learned from these 13 projects. I want to say that I think that's really great that NIFA actually did that, right? Because they don't normally do this kind of activity. It's this reductionist science that we all do, and then at the end of the day, what does it all mean? Who knows? So they led an RFP, and the team that I described at the very beginning, we were able to do this work in synthesizing the lessons learned from these 13 NIFA seed projects. And so we said that we would summarize and describe the science-based information. That was necessary work, but what I was really interested in was delivering the knowledge to policymakers within key organizations. All right? That's what I thought was really important about the work we were doing. As I said, the summarization was the necessary part. And so we developed a template. We delivered it to all the 13 watershed project personnel that we were dealing with. They told us what stunk and what we needed to revise, and then we worked with them. So it was a very iterative process. But now what I really want to focus on is the extension piece. But before I do that, I just want to give you a flavor of what these 13 projects found. Out of the 13 projects, only 6 of them were able to show water quality change. None of them were able to meet their TMDLs. The projects that had shown water quality change all had significant conservation practice implementation and appropriate monitoring, but there were other projects that also met those criteria that couldn't show water quality change. And let me just say, at that time, one of our success stories was Ohio, Lake Erie. Since then, there have been a few changes. Perhaps that's not such a good success story, but at the time we did this, it was great. Okay. So we worked to develop many, many, many different presentations. Some of the presentations, we had a human dimension presentation that was an hour long. We had a water quality modeling presentation that was an hour long. But at the end of the day, what we were most interested in the evaluation was putting together the lessons learned. And we have tons of lessons learned, but we kept knocking them down until we could get the 10 most important. And the reason I think this was critical, the 10 most important lessons learned, is that when you've got 15 minutes in front of an administrator, you want to make sure you hit the major points, and I'm going to come back to that. The only you all don't have to read all these, but the reason I have the first one is in yellow is that this is really important because I want to come back and talk about it. What we learned in NIFA-SEEP is exactly what we had learned for the most part in the RCWP synthesis, which I had worked on 15 years earlier, and nothing had changed, all right? And nothing had changed because when we did that work, that information was not brought in back into the agencies. EPA brought it in a little bit. They did a much better job. NRCS, USDA, is anybody from there? No, they didn't so much. All right. So this was kind of the synthesis conclusion. And again, these things were really important to come up with because we needed short, concise messages to deliver. All right. So let me talk a little bit about the products. You know, I do applied research. I do research papers. Then I do extension fact sheets. I make the CCA circuit. I do nutrient management training. How much longer do I have? Oh, perfect. Okay, no problem. But one of the things I had learned from the RCWP synthesis is that we'd put together this really great piece of literature, but it was gray literature, and it wasn't delivered anywhere important. So my team sat together in Golden, Colorado. It was really great, and talked about how can we have the most impact in delivering what we're going to develop? And we decided that we needed to do a book. And we needed to do a book with the publisher being Soil and Water Conservation Society, because they would help us deliver the message. And so that was a very fateful decision, and I must say it was a very good decision. NRCS actually liked the idea so well that after we paid for the book to be published, and we only had 100 books published that we had access to, they got the electronic rights. That was critically important because now it's open access. Okay, so that was the first thing I learned. The second thing is we started putting together journals where the projects themselves could synthesize the information. I'm not sure they would have done that without having the synthesis project lead them this direction. Do you think they would have done that, Linda?
No.
No. Okay. So that was another thing. The individual projects got to showcase themselves. We did a number of fact sheets with both logos on. We thought this was really important. But more importantly, it gave us really short pieces to hand out to congressional aides, to hand out to people that were never going to read our book. In fact, these are much better for me to remember what we did than the book. So they're very useful. So the thing that I learned, even though I've been working extension for a long time, is that scientific translation needs change agents. And I'm talking at a higher scale policy level, all right? And I had change agents, and these ladies were my angels. Lisa Duran-Check with USDA NRCS got lots of doors open for me that I would never have even known were there, all right? Absolutely critical. Roberta Perry, same way. She worked for EPA, got doors open for me. And it wasn't just that they opened doors, they said, they pushed me into them. I mean, it was incredibly useful. And in the NGO community, Michelle Perez helped me. So I want to talk a little bit about what change agents mean. It means that I got to brief congressional staffers. It meant that I got to update the undersecretary of USDA and the NRCS chief. It meant that I got to update the US EPA Office of Water director. I updated the chief and upper level managers multiple times, and I've been able to present to a lot of specialty groups that I wouldn't have even known about. And many of these groups found the message, because they were working on watersheds and water qualities, very compelling, because we could have a concise, succinct message relative to lessons learned. Okay. We also did a US EPA webinar that had several hundred people on there, and then lots of training for USDA and NRCS. And over the course of the time training USDA and NRCS, I got to see some change from people who'd say, oh, we do watershed planning, to people who said, maybe we don't do watershed planning and we need to do watershed planning. Okay, so the scientific meetings were great, but they're just science meetings. So. The other thing that NRCS did for us, I'm very grateful for, they put a whole bunch of information on one website. Our book, our fact sheet, the US EPA webinar, again, to get the message out. So the last thing I want to say is that we can't do this, but the funding agents need to do this. They need to make the translation of our science a priority for them, so that they can bring the science back into their agencies and use it to make a difference. But it's going to require working between these change agents, who are these incredibly dedicated employees of them, and working with the scientist. So what did we, this is what I can absolutely document, but there are lots of other things that I can document. First of all, NRCS changed their edge of field monitoring protocol because of a briefing we did. And they actually made it rigorous enough that the results will have some meaning after they spend these millions of dollars, which is really important. And it also refocused a lot of people's attention on critical source areas or and also intentional conservation planning. So with that, I think I have 30 seconds?
Sure.
30 seconds for one question.